who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus responded by saying it was neither his parents' sin or that caused this blindness, but rather Jesus was going to use this situation, healing this blind man, as a way to bring glory to God. Jesus scoops down, gathers some dust from the side of the road, mixes it with his own saliva, making a mud pack, putting it on the man's eyes, and then instructing the man to go to the pool of Siloam in order to wash the mud out. And having done this, the man who had been born blind received his sight. This caused a great excitement for those who had known this man for many years. They began to discuss the details of what had happened. It was a great healing miracle that they had witnessed. Now, when the crowd could not agree upon all the facts, it was decided to bring the situation to the attention of the Pharisees. Some in the crowd probably knew that the Pharisees would be quite interested in this particular case because this had all taken place on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees always seemed to be very interested in what people were doing on the Sabbath day. So the Pharisees then took over the investigation into this healing. They questioned everyone that they could. They even questioned the parents of this man who had been born blind. But in looking at the whole exchange, one of the most interesting exchanges in this whole investigation, and probably one of the most frustrating for the Pharisees, was the actual comments made by the blind man himself. See, this man knew what had happened to him. And he was not willing to take the lead of the Pharisees in diminishing what Jesus had done or diminishing who Jesus was. The man clearly saw that something very special had happened to him, and he wasn't willing to go along with the spin that the Pharisees seemed to want to put on the story. The blind man seemed to be rather bold in his exchange with the Pharisees. In fact, bolder than his parents had been. If you remember from earlier in the story, when the parents were called, they were actually trying to avoid a conflict with the Pharisees. It seemed as though they were only coming to this investigation rather reluctantly. They were probably summoned and they felt that they couldn't defy the Pharisees. They answered the safe questions, but they kind of avoided the unsafe questions. When the Pharisees asked questions related to Jesus, they basically said, referring to their older son, he's of age, ask him. In other words, we don't want to answer any questions about Jesus. That could get us in trouble. Our son, he's an adult. He can answer for himself. Now, why were these parents afraid? Well, the gospel writer John tells us in verse 22. This is what John says. He says, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledges that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. Well, after this, the Pharisees will turn their attention back to the blind man who had been healed, continuing to press him, trying to get him to diminish Jesus' role in this healing. However, the man was not to be deterred in his high praise of what Jesus had done for him and who Jesus was. This brings us to our opening verse for this morning, verse 34. To this they, that is the Pharisees, to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? Notice that the comment of these Pharisees reflected the thinking that we talked about earlier concerning sin and suffering. Remember the disciples, when they saw this man, their first reaction was to wonder whether or not some personal sin, whether sin on the part of the parents or sin on the part of the man had caused this blindness. Well, the Pharisees seemed to hold to this perspective as well. From their perspective, this man had been steeped in sin from birth. That would explain his blindness. And from the Pharisees' perspective, it also would explain why he continued to challenge their religious authority even now. Notice what they do next. At the end of verse 34, it says, "And they threw him out." Now, it's generally assumed that this means that they threw him out of the synagogue because he was being sympathetic toward Jesus. In fact, this was the very thing that the parents of this man who was healed had feared. Now it was happening to the blind man. Remember, the parents had avoided any commitment to Jesus, trying to play it safe. This man who had been healed by Jesus decided he was all in. He was all in with Jesus. He recognized that Jesus had changed his life. And so he was going to be fully committed to Jesus, whatever the consequences might be. I hope that causes each of us to reflect on our own willingness to stand up for Jesus, to be committed to Jesus, whatever the consequences might be. If Jesus has indeed changed your life, brought spiritual sight to your blind eyes, are you willing to stick with Jesus, whatever might come? Let's not take the safe path when it comes to Jesus. Let's acknowledge him boldly before all men and acknowledge him boldly in the face of any danger. Remember the words of Jesus? Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." Some people seem to fear men more than God. We ought to be those who fear God, who reverence God more than people. Now, before we go on to our next verse and the next part of the story, let's consider one more interesting aspect to the story here. You know, the Pharisees, they were so enraged by this man. And they were so enraged by the fact that this man would not give up his commitment to Jesus. He would not give up his conviction that Jesus was indeed an agent of God, rather than a sinner, which is what the Pharisees seemed to be arguing for. They were so enraged by this that they overlooked one of the key signs that Jesus may indeed have been from God. The Old Testament describes many features and signs of the coming of the Messianic age. Let's just take one of them this morning. The prophet of Isaiah. We could use a lot of different prophets, but let's use the prophet of Isaiah this morning to illustrate this. For those who have been attending our Wednesday night study on the prophet of Isaiah, you may recognize some of these themes. Isaiah spends a great deal of time pointing his readers toward the coming of the Messiah. Many, many passages in Isaiah give detailed prophecies of the coming Messiah. And one of the key themes in Isaiah is this. The coming Messiah will bring sight to the blind. Let me share with you a few passages. Isaiah 19, verse 18. It says, in that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Isaiah 35, verse 5. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Isaiah 42, verse 7. To open the eyes that were blind, to set the captives free. Now I can go on, verse after verse, in Isaiah, also another of the prophets of the Old Testament. But let's turn now to the Gospels. Luke chapter 4. This is the story of Jesus. This is the story of Jesus when he's participating in the worship service in the synagogue in the city of Nazareth. Now remember, Nazareth was the hometown of Jesus. Jesus had kind of established himself as a traveling religious teacher. So one day when Jesus is in Nazareth visiting the synagogue, he was invited to read the scripture passage for the service that day. So let's pick up our story, Luke chapter 4, verse 17. We read in that passage, and again, this is giving of the prophets, of the scroll of the prophet to Jesus. It says, the scroll of the prophet of Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And now Jesus will read from Isaiah chapter 61. So, we're reading now from Luke chapter 4, but Jesus is quoting Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord. Luke 4:20. He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now the crowd of people there in the synagogue, they were shocked. They were a bit horrified because Jesus was saying that he was the Messiah described in the prophet of Isaiah. So just kind of backing up a bit. One of the key themes of the Old Testament prophets, especially Isaiah, is that the Messiah would restore the sight to the blind. Now last week we mentioned that there's no record of the sight being restored to the blind found in the Old Testament. The only references found in the Old Testament were these prophetic words about the coming Messiah. The first time we see a case of blindness being healed was in the story of Jesus in the Gospels. You would think, if the Pharisees were learned men, if they knew their scriptures very, very well, they would have their radar up. And they would be listening for and waiting for this very type of miracle. Again, no reference to a healing of a blind person in the Old Testament. The only references to the healing of blind people in the Old Testament was a sign for the coming of the Messiah. You know, if I were a Pharisee, I'd be looking for the sign. I'd be listening and seeing if I heard any reports of someone who had healed the blindness, and then I would investigate to determine if this incident was revealing the identity of the expected Messiah. We don't see that going on in our story this morning. Instead, we see the Pharisees investigating this miracle only because it took place on the Sabbath day. And they quickly dismissed Jesus as a sinner because the miracle had taken place on the Sabbath day. This seems like a missed opportunity. A missed opportunity. Instead of identifying Jesus as the Messiah because he had opened the eyes of the blind, they labeled him as a sinner because he had done this on the Sabbath. Who was really blind in our story this morning? After the man left the Pharisees, you read that Jesus sought him out. Let's go on now. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Notice, first of all, that Jesus goes looking for this man after he heard that he had been thrown out. He cares about this man. In fact, even at the very beginning of the story, we could tell that Jesus cared about this man. When the disciples first saw this man begging along the side of the road, their first thought was to have a theological discussion about his blindness, trying to figure out if his blindness was the result of his own sin or the sin of his parents. When Jesus first saw the man there by the side of the road, his first thought was to bring glory to God and to restore the sight for this man who had been born blind. Looking back to our story now, when Jesus heard that this man had been interrogated by the Pharisees and thrown out, why was he thrown out? Because he stood up to the Pharisees and defended the actions of Jesus. Jesus went and he sought this man. Again, this reminds us of Matthew 10:34. "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." In this case, the blind man acknowledges Jesus before these Pharisees. So Jesus will seek out this man and bless this man after the Pharisees wanted to punish this man for his stand with Jesus. The good news is that Jesus will do the same for us, especially when we face hardships because of our commitment to Christ. Do we face hardships because of our commitment to Christ? Yes, we do. Jesus will seek us out as he sought out this man here. Chrysostom, one of the great preachers of the 4th century, one of the great church fathers, he said these remarks related to this particular verse. He says, "The one whom the Jews had cast out of the temple, the Lord of the temple found." Now we can see from this quote that Chrysostom understands this particular passage as saying that the Pharisees had thrown the blind man out of the temple. We said a moment ago that it may have been the synagogue that he had been thrown out of. You know, the details in the text are a little bit unclear. Was it the temple? Was it the synagogue? Was it kicked out permanently or just for that day? The passage just says that he threw out the man. What I want us to notice in this passage is that when the Pharisees threw him out, Jesus sought him out. The world will sometimes try to reject us, throw us out, because we are committed to Jesus. Don't worry when it happens, though. But know that just as Jesus went and found this man and brought comfort to him, so he will hold us in his arms and come to us, and he will seek us out as well. Let's go back and think about that very first question that Jesus asked of this man. The very first words out of the mouth of Jesus when he found this man. Do you believe in the Son of Man? That's the most important question. The most important question. You know, Jesus doesn't ask the man about his eyesight. He doesn't ask the man about his experience by the pool of Siloam or his experience with the Pharisees. He doesn't ask the man how he feels about the situation. You know, those are the typical questions that we want to ask. What happened? How do you feel? What did you experience? Jesus instead goes to the most important question. The question that has eternal significance. Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Remember the purpose statement for John's Gospel? Chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. You know, Jesus had healed this man's physical blindness with the mud pack and the command to go to the pool of Siloam. Jesus was now interested in healing this man's spiritual blindness by bringing him to the point where he could affirm his belief in the Son of Man. Bringing that truth to us. Yes, Jesus is interested in our physical healing. But Jesus really wants more than that to restore us to our eternal relationship with our Father, with our Creator. As we look at this whole story, from beginning to end, chapter 9, we see that there is a clear progression in the faith and the belief of this blind man. Let's review some of the key steps toward faith we see in this whole chapter. When the man first began to talk about Jesus to the crowd of people in the streets there of Jerusalem, and then when the gathering of the Pharisees taking place, the man said he did not even know where Jesus was. In fact, when they were questioning him about who had healed him, the man said that the men, or the man they called Jesus, he didn't know Jesus personally. He knew of Jesus. He talked about Jesus as the man they called Jesus. He'd probably never met Jesus before. We know he had not actually seen Jesus with his physical eyes. Later on in the exchange, though, when the Pharisees pressed the man to say something about the one who had healed him, the man finally said, verse 17, he is a prophet. The man's understanding of Jesus was developing. At first, he did not know who Jesus was or where he was. After some time to reflect on the situation, and after being pressed by these Pharisees, he came to the only reasonable conclusion that he could, that he must be a prophet of God, perhaps the prophet that was promised by Moses. But as the interrogation of the Pharisees continued, as they pressed him to change his answer, as they were trying to build this case that Jesus was really a sinner, not the prophet of God, the man who had been healed of his blindness became even more resolute in his conviction that Jesus was a man from God. He resisted the pressure to change his answer. Verse 25 says, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. The man continued to acknowledge Jesus before these Pharisees, even when being pressed to change his answer, to come around and see things from the Pharisees' perspective. He continued to acknowledge Jesus. Again, Matthew 10, 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father's in heaven. The man's faith, his man's commitment to Jesus was growing, developing. As he said, by this point in the story, the man had not seen Jesus with his own physical eyes, but when Jesus found the man, and he then asked him this question, do you believe in the Son of Man? See, Jesus knew how far the man's faith had developed, but he also knew that it had to progress a little bit further, a little bit further. The man had to affirm for himself that Jesus was the Son of God and thus have eternal life. Because of that personal confession, here's the point. It's not enough. It's not enough to just know that Jesus is a prophet of God. It's not enough to simply know that Jesus isn't a sinner, but rather he's a healer sent from God. The blind man had to get to the point where he personally had this opportunity to affirm his belief that Jesus was the Son of God. He had to personally confess the name of Jesus. Jesus is leading this man toward this confession. He's bringing him to the point where the man can affirm, verse 38, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Each of us must come to the point in our own faith development where we can say, Lord, I believe. And worship him. Romans 10:9 states that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There may be some steps that we go through as we move toward that point where we confess, personally confess, but until we make that personal confession, we don't have the eternal life. Jesus is helping this man toward his personal confession of Jesus. Jesus helps us too. All of us walk through a faith journey. We come to understand more and more about Jesus. We acknowledge many things about Jesus. But Jesus wants to lead us to the place where we confess. We say, like this blind man, Lord, I believe. And worship him. Final scene in the story, John chapter 9, involves the Pharisees again. Apparently, some of the Pharisees were listening on in this final exchange between Jesus and the man who was healed. Listen now as we bring a close to our story today, beginning at verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Verse 40. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus says, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. From this whole chapter, and we've been looking at this chapter for 4 weeks now, from this whole chapter we see that Jesus came into this world for two reasons. One, that the blind might see. And secondly, as we see now, that those who think they can see might become blinded. The Pharisees, they understood themselves to be those who could see. They saw no need to receive their sight from Jesus. They felt that they were no need of healing, of any kind of blindness. But according to Jesus, because of that, they would remain in their blindness. They were too full of pride, too full of self-importance to receive the light that Jesus could have brought to their eyes. Listen to how Charles Spurgeon describes this situation. Spurgeon writes, "It is not our littleness that hinders Christ, but our bigness. It is not our weakness that hinders Christ, but our strength. It is not our darkness that hinders Christ, but our supposed light that holds back His hand." The way to seeing begins with a willingness to admit that we are blind. The Pharisees refused to do this, and therefore they remained in their blindness. I think we need to learn a very important lesson from these Pharisees. Often the greatest danger of believers, of you and I who know Jesus, is the conviction that we already see clearly and that we already walk in the light. Let's go back and read that quote from Spurgeon again in light of a personal application to us. Speaking to us as believers, not to these Pharisees, but to us as believers. Spurgeon again writes, "It is not our littleness that hinders Christ, but our bigness. It is not our weakness that hinders Christ, it is our strength. It is not our darkness that hinders Christ, it is our supposed light that holds back His hand." We always need to consider the possibility that we are still blind in some ways, in some regards, so that we can receive from Jesus further light. The light that only is available to those who understand that they do not yet have the light of Jesus. Let us learn to recognize our blindness so that we can be healed of that blindness. Recognize the darkness in our own thinking, in our own minds, in our own hearts, so that the light of Jesus can be poured forth. When we believe that we now see clear enough, we become blind. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for being the light of the world, for coming into this world in order to drive out all darkness. You drive out the darkness from our eyes. You drive out the darkness from our hearts. You drive out the darkness in our minds. You drive out darkness with Your glorious light. Father, You are the light of the world. You have opened our physical eyes, opened our spiritual eyes. Let us know. Let us say, "Lord, I believe," and worship You. so that we will receive the full light that you desire to pour out upon your people. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Amen.